Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Trying to be in my tech mogul era. I want to make you guys add money.
I mean, I don't even know what day we're aiming for anymore.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Off Bites. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Chris.
Happy spooky season, Chris.
Happy spooky season. Have you gotten your pumpkin spice latte yet?
You know, I'm kind of embarrassed about this, but no, I haven't. I've been making coffee at home, and I still have like some caramel coffee that I bought before spooky season, but that actually sounds like a good idea. I might go to Starbucks and get one today after we record.
I think you're in danger of losing your basic card.
I know. I'm worried about it. I should really motor out of here right when we're done.
I agree. Well, if you're looking for something different, this is not a Starbucks ad, but they had a sign up the other day for something called an iced pecan crunch oat milk latte. And I like anything pecan. And I tried it and it was actually really good. It's probably not good for you, but it tasted really good.
That sounds really good. I like pecan stuff as well. Did it taste like praline or like candied pecans?
I would say pecan, candied pecans probably, because there was like a definite brown sugar note in there too. Or maybe not a note, just a lot of brown sugar.
Yum. I have a quick question, because sometimes with these like texture names, like crunch, was it crunchy?
No, I don't know why.
Okay, good. Because it's a little bit unsettling to think about like drinking crunch.
It wasn't like drinking cereal out of a Starbucks cup.
Okay, good. Was there crunchy stuff on top? Like in the whipped cream?
I think that might have been it. That might be where they get the crunch part.
Just mild. Okay. Good to know. Well, maybe I'll get that one too and keep it in the fridge after I get my pumpkin spice latte. I'm just going to go all out today.
You're going to be wired tonight.
Yes. Good. I probably have editing to do. Well, listeners, thank you for listening to our coffee banter, and make sure to catch up on our regular episodes, including our latest on pumpkin spice lattes. As for this episode, what we do on Off Bites is go through a bunch of strange tales we couldn't get to on those regular episodes with Mike Rogers.
This week, we're talking baseball stadium snakes, former President Trump working the drive-thru, and more.
Also, we always want to hear our listeners' comments and your story ideas. You guys can send them to us on X, where I'm at LaurenBerry91. Our host, Mike Rogers, is at KRLD Mike Rogers. And you can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
And you can find me at Chris C. Blake. Our first story has to do with the baseball playoffs. The World Series starts this week, but this was leading up to it. A snake slithered through the Dodgers dugout during Game 2 of the National League Championship Series last week. The snake appeared in the top of the fifth inning of the Dodgers' loss to the Mets. Wasn't big enough to put a scare into anyone, though. One of the relief pitchers said he was hoping it was a rally snake and that they would turn around and rally right after that. Alas, they did not, although they did win the series as a whole. The snake was wrapped in a towel and removed by a member of the grounds crew. The TV announcer joked that we've had snakes on a plane, snakes on a train, but snakes in the dugout was not to be. The visitor didn't have the impact the San Diego Padres rally goose that landed on the field had at Dodger Stadium in 2022. So, Lauren, I know you don't sports all the time.
Don't.
But typically, especially in baseball, because obviously it's outdoors, unlike basketball or hockey, when like a rabbit or a squirrel or something runs across a field in the middle of a game, sometimes if a team scores a few runs after that, fans like jump on a bandwagon and are like, oh, that was the rally squirrel. So the Dodgers here, I think we're hoping that the snake would spark some offense, but it didn't happen this time.
I was going to thank you for filling me in, because I was like, what's a rally snake? What's a rally goose? But thank you for informing me. about that. We've done an episode about baseball and like the superstitions associated with it. And I know in Chicago, we have like this myth. Well, we had a myth about the Cubs that there was like a Greek restaurant owner that they didn't let him bring his goat into the stadium. And then he cursed them for, the 100 years or whatever until 2016 when they finally won the World Series again. So that's the animal related baseball trivia that I have. Since I'm not super sporty, I think I would, if I was at a baseball game and there was a weird animal there, I would welcome the, excitement of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think to a casual fan, it's just another bit of excitement to go along with the game.
Exactly. Although, are you afraid of snakes? I kind of like snakes. I'm not afraid of them.
I'm not afraid of small snakes. Like if I'm mowing the yard and a little grass snake slithers out from underneath where I'm mowing, it doesn't freak me out or anything. But I think if I saw like a giant snake out in the wild or something, I would probably jump a little bit and move very
Yeah,
quickly
like
in the other
because
direction.
some of them like can eat people. So yeah, the big ones are scary. But do you have a lot of snakes? We don't have like snakes in the wild here, really, in the Chicago area. Are there a lot in Texas?
Supposedly, but I don't think I've ever really seen one. I know my parents have said at their house, and they just live in the suburbs outside of Dallas, that they had a rat snake crawling along the fence line one time. And I know those are big, but they're not dangerous for people. They're actually good to keep rodents away. But that would still creep me out a little bit if I saw one in my backyard.
Yeah, it would creep me out. When I went on like vacation to Arizona, there were a lot of snakes, and I'm not afraid of them, but I was like, this is not as cute as squirrels, you know?
And they could hurt you.
Yeah, potentially.
And squirrels probably won't.
Well, you know.
We'll get to that later in this episode. If you've been following the election, you've probably seen our next story. It's about former President Trump working at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania over the weekend. Trump swapped his suit jacket for an apron in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, working the drive-through at a McDonald's and scooping French fries. It comes because he made comments mocking Vice President Harris, who talked about her experience working at McDonald's. And on Friday, he said he wanted to work at the restaurant while claiming that Harris lied about her experience working there growing up. Lauren, I'm sure you saw pictures and video of this. It's a little out of character seeing the former president sticking his head out of a drive-through window and standing at the fry stand.
Yeah, it felt like when I was looking at it, I was like, is this from a Simpsons episode? Like, it did not seem like real life to me. But Trump, he's a lot of things and he is so good at leveraging media attention, I think. And it's definitely not something you usually see during a presidential election, someone at the drive-thru, like a candidate at the drive-thru at McDonald's. And it was hard to look away. So I'll give him that.
Normally, major national chains are not part of presidential campaigns. They're normally in small, local, mom and pop type places, but anything to get a dig at your opponent, I guess.
I guess he's always been a McDonald's fan. I feel like he didn't he have like a bunch of McDonald's burgers at the White House?
Yes. When
Yes.
so there's the tradition of championship teams visiting the White House, and one of the years when he was president, Clemson won the national championship in football, and it went viral that he brought in just a ton of fast food for
Yeah.
all these college football players, because I think in his mind, college kids love fast food.
Yeah, an interesting move. Those photos are still in my mind, like him standing with the big McDonald's feast at the White House. And it feels like it's like a parody of America a little bit, but I remember it. So like it's interesting marketing in that sense. We're very close to the presidential election right now, and I don't want to get too political. But yeah, it's definitely a novel approach to campaigning. We'll see how it works with the people. I haven't talked to anybody yet about like whether or not they liked it or they didn't like it. Do you have any like feel about that in the newsroom if people are digging this approach?
Not about the McDonald's thing specifically. No, I think it might be too recent for me to have talked to anyone about it. We're recording this on a Monday, like a day after it happened.
Yeah, I'm interested in what our listeners think about it. Is it endearing? Do you think it's a little going overboard? Do you like it? Do you hate it? I want to know. I'm interested. Not about like whether or not he should be president, just about the McDonald's thing. Like, do you think it's appropriate? Do you think it's refreshing? Do you think it's inappropriate?
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Okay, so our next two stories are both animal related. That's some of our favorite stuff. And our first one is about a dog on Egypt's Great Pyramid of Giza. I'm just going to preface it. This story has a lot of strange details in it. I feel kind of like that character on SNL talking about the nightclub that has all of the different stuff in it. So it has a man paragliding over the Pyramid of Giza. It has a dog on the Pyramid of Giza. It has this viral post on Instagram. There's just a lot going on. So as I was mentioning, there was a man paragliding over the Great Pyramid of Giza, which I find a little surprising that they let people do that. But he was doing that. He was, you know, recording it, and he saw a dog on the top of this ancient pyramid. And then he shared this footage that he got on social media. It quickly went viral. And his name is Marshall Mosher. He's soaring through the desert on this paraglider and then, you know, zeroes in on the dog. And in the post, he said, a dog climbed all the way up to the Great Pyramid of Giza. And then some people in the comments joked that it wasn't actually a dog, but the Egyptian god Anubis, who has a dog form, who came from the underworld. And then other commenters make jokes about how the dog maybe peed on the pyramid and now it belonged to him. That seems a little bit in poor taste to me. Chris, I don't have a dog currently. You have two dogs. Would you take them with you if you went to Egypt to the Great Pyramid of Giza? And what would your reaction be if you like lost your dog and it ran all the way up?
I probably would not bring my dog on an international trip. Yep. It's insanely difficult to get animals into other countries. So my dog wouldn't be there. I'm just impressed that a dog made it to the top of the pyramids. Is that humans aren't allowed to walk up, are they?
I don't believe so. I would be surprised if you were able to walk up to the top of that. It doesn't even seem like.
I don't think there are stairs.
It's doable. Yeah. It's very, you know, tiny and pointy at the top of a pyramid.
It's almost as big of a wonder of the world as how they were made in the first place.
I'm just going to check this article really quick. It says that Mosher explained that dogs that live in the area, so it probably wasn't a vacationing dog, but dogs that live in the area of the pyramid frequently climb up the 454-foot wonder of the ancient world. So that's just happening all the time, I guess, which is interesting. I feel like in the U.S., we would be not like letting that happen, but maybe it's hard. Like, I guess like you can't stop pigeons from being on the Statue of Liberty, right?
But this feels easier to prevent.
Yeah, but I wonder if they're like, they're wild dogs, not, because that's like a little bit more common. Like,
right.
Like in the U.S., there aren't that many wild dogs. But in other countries, like in when I was in China, there were like a lot.
I'm not sure. Obviously, I've never been, but they look pretty steep.
They do. And I don't, like, again, I'm trying to think of like, are there places in the U.S. where dogs would be just running around a lot, like the Lincoln Memorial? I don't think you could have dogs in there, right?
I mean, I'm trying to think of natural places like
Mount Rushmore,
the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, we don't have a, I mean, there are like wild animals there, but not dogs.
Right. I just don't think we have dogs in those places here.
Yeah. It wouldn't be common to see like, maybe it would be. Maybe there are like foxes and coyotes at Mount Rushmore all the time that I just don't know about.
Wouldn't be surprised. It's a national park.
Yeah. Okay. And for our next one, Chris made a little bit of a reference to it earlier when I was talking about mean squirrels. This one is about an infestation of raccoons. So sheriff's deputies in Washington's Kitsap County recently were called for a problem. A woman was being hounded by dozens of raccoons swarming her home. So she reported that she had to flee her own property after 50 to 100 raccoons descended upon it and they were acting aggressively. She told the deputies from the sheriff's department that she did start feeding a family of raccoons, but decades ago, and everything was fine until around 6 weeks before the hundreds of raccoons showed up. And then it just started getting to be more and more of them. And they became more aggressive and demanded food and would hound her day and night. And this sounds like a weird horror movie, like The Birds or Sharknado or something. And we also did a story, it was one of our first episodes, about a couple that were, their house was taken over by caterpillars, which is super gross. The caterpillars were like falling in their cereal and stuff like that. So it reminded me a bit of that story. And it's still not clear, according to the Associated Press, what caused the numbers of raccoons to balloon so suddenly at her house. The sheriff's office and the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Washington determined that no laws were broken. But, you know, it's still scary to have to leave your house and to have all those raccoons over there. So have you ever had an infestation of stuff in your house, Chris? Probably not raccoons, but.
No, and knock on wood, we've only been homeowners for 2 years. So hopefully it doesn't happen. I think we do all the things you're supposed to do, like maintenance wise, but I guess anything could happen to where like some squirrels could get into the attic and nest or whatever.
You're not feeding raccoons, right? So I think that's a good first step.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're doing all the things you're supposed to do, like not feed wild animals.
Yeah. I haven't ever had an infestation in my home either, and I don't like to feed wild animals, although they're cute. Raccoons creep me out a little bit. They have like little human hands. Have you ever seen them like eat with their like they have like opposable thumbs almost?
I have. We have had rabbits in our yard, but that's not
as bad. Oh, yeah, I've had rabbits in my yard. They're cute though.
I may have told you this when it happened, except when they have babies and you have dogs. And the dog's trying to get the little babies out of the hole.
Yeah. Especially if succeed. you have bigger dogs and they could like, I had like a little, when I lived in the suburbs, we had like a little schnauzer, but he like really couldn't, like the bunny maybe could mess him up more than he could mess up the bunny. Yeah. Yeah. We actually had so many bunnies in my neighborhood though, that they were giving people snakes to cut down on the bunny population. I know I said we didn't have a lot of snakes. I've never seen one in my area, but they were trying to give people snakes to reduce the number of bunnies.
That's kind of sad.
It is. I'm like, wouldn't we prefer bunnies over snakes? But I guess they like eat people's flowers and stuff and then they get upset.
Yeah, I think they can mess up like all the people's yards and that kind of thing.
I don't know. Still kind of prefer them over snakes, but whatever.
I agree.
That's my opinion. So yeah, I hope the best for this woman and her raccoon problem. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that would make a good horror movie? Do you think raccoons are scary enough?
Maybe. You could probably make like one of those half comedy, half apocalypse movies where it's like funny, but they still kill people.
Yeah. I could imagine like the CG raccoons being pretty goofy.
You could have fun with that.
Okay. So, you know, whoever decides to write the script for that, please give us credit.
We'll take royalties.
Absolutely. This is probably our last Off Bites before Halloween, but if you guys collect any spooky Halloween-related stories or scary stuff or any other, you know, interesting, weird stories, please send them to us and we'll include them in our next episode. And then what do we have coming up for our longer episodes with Mike?
Our next one we have coming up has to do with why office pizza parties are insulting.
Oh, I'm excited for that one. Everybody has strong opinions about the office pizza party. I want to dive into it.
The only office pizza that is not insulting is election night pizza.
Election night pizza does hit different, gotta say. And here, you know, if someone springs for the deep dish pizza, which costs a little bit more money, you kind of like respect the boss for like going above and beyond, getting you a deep dish. So,
yeah, we don't have that option here.
So thank you guys for listening to this latest episode of Off Bites. We will see you next time. Hear you next time. Listen to you next time.
See you next time is fine.
Okay.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app